This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Help! I need somebody. Help! Not just anybody. Help! You know I need someone. Help!
When I was young, was so much younger than today.
I never needed
anybody's help in any way.
Now these days are gone, I'm not so self-assured.
Change my mind
and open up the doors.
Help me if you can, I'm feeling down, and I do appreciate you being round. Help me get my feet back on the ground. Won't you please, please help me?
Oh yeah, a little bit of Beatles. Does our country need a little help right now? Got so many things going on that are scary, I would tell you. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, and along with my buddy Big Ed Davis, thank you for joining us. It is Monday, October the 19th. We are going to be talking in a few minutes with Wen Fa of the Pacific Legal Foundation. We're going to talk about a Texas law that bars people wearing MAGA hats and pro-candidate t-shirts to the polls. You can't go there, apparently. Is that legal? We're going to find out, so stay tuned for it. And despite the media's attempts to crush the Hunter Biden saga, it continues, I might add, with a flourish. But did the FBI or the Justice Department know about all of this for a while? And they've been sitting on it. We're going to talk about that with the proprietor of the barber pole, Andrew Ceresi, about all that and more. So stay tuned for that. And we will dust off Wilbur the Duck because we have another edition of Campus Quackery today, this time involving the San Diego school system. Wait till you hear what they are doing. And in our ultimate top 10, we have a good one, the top 10 greatest movie villains. Who is your number one? You're going to find out what the American Film Institute has designated. So stay tuned for that. By the way, Freedom Works, sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. For the best haircut at a great price, you got to call Andrew's Master Barbershop. Their phone number is 727-733-3773. And by the way, don't forget about Good Morning Clearwater, which precedes our program. Great show, Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 a.m. here on the Tantalk Radio Network. Paul and Tracy Allen will start off your day with the latest in news and entertainment. So there you go. Now, you know, it's like putting a pot on a boiling cauldron. You can press down all you want, but the hotter it gets, when it explodes, it really explodes. And the director of national intelligence, his name is John Ratcliffe, this morning has said that Hunter Biden's laptop is not part of some Russian conspiracy or disinformation campaign. Even though Adam Schiff, you know him? He is the chairman of the House Intelligence Committee. He's out of California, congressman. He claims that it's that. Ratcliffe, during an interview on Fox Business News, was asked about the allegations from Schiff, who over the weekend said that the Hunter Biden emails suggesting Joe Biden had knowledge of them and was involved in some sort of business dealings was some sort of Russian cook-up. Here's what Ratcliffe had to say about it. It's funny that some of the people who complain the most about intelligence being politicized are the ones politicizing the intelligence. He says, unfortunately, Schiff, who said the intelligence community believes that Hunter Biden's laptop and emails on it are part of a Russian disinformation campaign. Well, if that's what they are, you got to credit the Russians. Somehow they're doing a wonderful job. Because everybody who's looking at this whole thing And by the way, it turns out the guy that dropped off the laptop of Hunter Biden's at that guy's place for repair was Hunter Biden. That's what, apparently, that's what's been going on. And yet, you know, interestingly enough, the FBI, under Christopher Wray, apparently knew about this situation for a while. Why were they not bringing this to the surface? That's kind of a little bit spooky to me. I've always worried a little bit about Christopher Wray. There's something about him I've never felt totally secure. He's the FBI. He's the head of the FBI. But seems to me he's at the center of a political situation there. We'll find out, hopefully, someday. So we're going to have that debate, are we not, later on this week with Trump and Biden? And we've got apparently another liberal that's going to be hosting it. That should be fun, although Trump is ready for it. And one of his campaign advisors now says that Trump's going to keep his mouth closed a little bit more when Biden is talking. So I think he got the memo about that. I think he got the memo. By the way,
I actually sent him a few memos.
Yes. Trump is making like he's doing a two-a-day now, is he not, with these rallies? He's all over the place. Yeah. California, Nevada, my goodness. He was up there in Wisconsin, over in northern Michigan.
There's another big parade down in Clearwater Saturday again.
This Saturday, another parade.
Well, last Saturday.
You mean last Saturday?
Yep, the other day.
A Trump one.
Yep.
Were you there?
I drove past it and stopped and looked and probably...
How many?
200 cars, maybe.
200 cars?
Yeah.
It's not bad for that area.
Bunch of people hanging out and... That'd be 1,000 people at least.
Well, Trump has been talking, of course, since he does all of these rallies, about Biden and his beloved son, Hunter. He's now saying their whole family is a criminal enterprise. The more you hear about this, there's a payoff to Joe. In other words, guess who's getting, who's giving Joe the money? His son. Mm-hmm. It wasn't so much Joe wasn't passing money on to Hunter. Hunter is the conduit for money to Joe. Now we know why Joe has got, what, three mansions?
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't all on his, you know, on his congressman's salary and on his vice president's salary. But anyway, there is a lot of this going on, and then we've got all of the situation with trying to stifle the New York Post. Did you know it's one of the oldest news? You know, it goes back to, the New York Post goes back to the colonies.
Hmm.
Would you believe it? I think it was Alexander Hamilton. I'm not sure which one, but that's pretty good, isn't it?
What did it cost you?
Don't you dare go there. Don't you even go there. I was just a little kid when Alexander Hamilton was running around the country. I remember it well. And those horse-drawn carriages. Anyway, where were we? I know where we were. We got to get ready for a break, Ed, and then we're going to have Wen Fa. I can't believe that you can't go to a poll with a MAGA hat. They won't let you go in and
vote. Can you go with a Biden hat?
We'll find out when we talk to Wen Fa, so stay tuned for that.
My hair, come along and be my party doll. Come along and be my party doll. Come along and be my party doll.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best hair cutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting, beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience, and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
If you would like to become a wholesale buyer of the premium quality longevity product that you hear about right here on the Tantalk Radio Network for personal service, you can pick up the phone right now and call Lola at 727-441-3311. Again, that's Lola at 727-441-3311. Or for even faster service, log on to TantalkHealth.com. That's TantalkHealth.com. Here's your health and longevity.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on the Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets. From animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune into the show on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Well, it's one for the money, two for the show. Free to get ready now, go cat, go, but don't you...
Hey, we are back on a Monday morning. It's a beautiful day here, by the way, in Tampa Bay. Sunny and bright and a lot less humidity. So we're delighted to be here. And we are delighted to have Wen Fa join us. He is an attorney with the Pacific Legal Foundation. We're going to talk about not having one of those Make America Great Again caps or T-shirts... or even another candidate's hat or T-shirt, if you go to the polls in Texas. Wen, welcome to Freedom Works.
Thanks for having me.
Our pleasure. Now, you mean if I got my John Kennedy T-shirt or something, you know, out of the past, or, you know, a Ted Kennedy T-shirt or something, and I was in Texas, and I went to the poll, I might be in jeopardy of not being allowed to vote?
Well, it would be a criminal offense for you to wear that within 100 feet of a polling place in Texas. Texas prevents voters from wearing any apparel that an election worker might consider electioneering for a candidate, measure, or political party. So you cannot wear a John Kennedy T-shirt or Reagan Bush T-shirt.
Really? Isn't that wild? What other things can you not wear? I know we can't wear any MAGA hats. And I know, by the way, the Pacific Legal Foundation has filed a lawsuit. You're actually challenging this law. Tell us a little bit about the challenge. Where are you so far in that whole thing?
So just to give a little bit of background, in 2018, Pacific Legal Foundation actually won a Supreme Court case in which we challenged a similar Minnesota law prohibited voters from wearing political T-shirts at the polling place, and the Supreme Court, in a decision written by Chief Justice Roberts, said that violated voters' First Amendment right to free speech. In Texas, we're representing the wife of a Houston firefighter who wore a Houston firefighter's T-shirt to the polling place, but because there was this was in 2018, but because there was a ballot initiative dealing with firefighter pay on the ballot, the poll worker told our client to go to the restroom and turn her shirt inside out before she was allowed to vote.
Oh, what a crazy world we're in. Go ahead.
Certainly. So we've been litigating this case for a year and a half now, and both parties have presented the trial court with the papers necessary for the trial court to rule and issue a decision. What was really striking about this case is we actually asked a few poll workers and election officials, both on the county and state level, about what they would prohibit under this law, what they would consider electioneering. We asked them about, we asked them about Houston firefighters T-shirt. We asked them about Black Lives Matter T-shirts. We asked them about Tea Party T-shirts and Second Amendment T-shirts and so on. And they disagreed on literally every single example we asked them. So this just shows you that a vague and open-ended law like this doesn't really provide any sensible basis for what comes in and what goes out of the polling place. It really leaves it up to the subjective whims of the poll worker who happens to be working the poll that day.
Well, that was kind of going to be my next question. I mean, really, do you think of all these people lined up, outside in some Texas polling place, they're actually going to be stopped from voting if they wander in there with a T-shirt that says John Kennedy or whoever. They're not going to be stopped.
That certainly has happened before, where poll workers and voters have gotten into huge confrontations over someone's T-shirt. And as for our client, the poll worker ordered her to go to the restroom and told her she couldn't come into the polling place because she was wearing that particular T-shirt.
Right.
So this is something that certainly voters have been some have been stopped from voting in the T-shirt. Now the Texas law, to be sure, says that voters should be allowed to vote in the T-shirt and then arrested afterwards.
You can vote, so at least you're voting while they throw you in the clink. You know your vote counts.
Yeah, it is certainly just a very it undermines the rule of law. Not only just to have different people have different interpretations of what the law actually requires, but it also undermines the rule of law in that the state is actually making it a criminal offense and having people arrested all for wearing an expressive T-shirt or a hat.
Wow. So, I mean, how long have you been... This is what, Ostrowich versus Troutman?
Yes.
How long has this thing been going on?
So this has been going on for about a year and a half now.
Why?
Texas has had the
Why is it taking so long? Why is it taking so long for the and also, what level, what court is it in right now?
So it's in the trial court. You know, cases usually take quite a while to work itself up to the court, especially cases that require extensive factual development. So here, the state has actually produced over 80,000 pages of documents. There are about 100,000 pages of documents total, and what they show is that the law has been really applied in arbitrary ways, inconsistent ways. When election workers ask about, or voters ask the state about what's prohibited and what isn't, the state simply recites the text of the statute itself, doesn't provide any clear guidance on what's prohibited and what isn't prohibited. We've also exchanged expert reports. The state wanted to get an expert, which is paying $500 per hour so that it can have this law that makes it a criminal offense for voters to wear T-shirts and hats.
Mm-hmm.
And both parties have taken, you know, depositions. Our depositions of the different election officials and the election workers show that there really isn't any sensible basis for what is in and what is out of the polling place. So I think the discovery in this case so far has just proved that this law is susceptible of erratic enforcement, and in fact does lead to erratic enforcement. And now we're glad we can present the court with a full record that shows why the law that we're challenging is unconstitutional under the First Amendment.
Right. We're talking with Wen Fah. He is an attorney with the Pacific Legal Foundation. And we're talking about a case involving the wife of a Houston fireman that was wearing a T-shirt, forced to turn it inside out because it had something to say about the firefighters. Now, are there other places where you can't, you know, go to a poll because you're wearing something that would, you know, would back somebody? I mean, is Texas the only place right now? And is this going to affect? I mean, I just can't believe anywhere that people are going to be actually. Nobody's going to be jailed. I mean, nobody would be. They might be turned away, but they won't be jailed. And if they've already voted, nobody's going to grab them either. That's not true. We know that. So
you would think that, but in 2016, I believe, there is a voter in Texas who voted wearing a Basket of Deplorables T-shirt and a Trump hat. He willingly removed the Trump hat when confronted by an election worker, but he refused to do anything to cover up to the Basket of Deplorables T-shirt. He got in a huge argument with the election worker, and he was actually thrown in jail.
Really?
Overnight. he ultimately wasn't charged, but he was jailed overnight.
Wow.
For the
I mean, did he throw a punch? They weren't jailing him because of his shirt. They were jailing him because he was creating a ruckus, probably, right?
Well, the report doesn't say anything about a punch or anything like that. It just says. Yeah.
We know that.
It just says he got. Mm-hmm. Sorry, he got in an argument with the poll worker at the polling place. Your question about other states, different states have different laws. California has a law that prohibits voters from wearing T-shirts that expressly endorse candidates. But it's a little bit narrower than the Texas law. And the Texas law is really vague and open-ended and susceptible to multiple interpretations. It bans. It's not limited just to this particular election. So when you talk about a Make America Great Again hat, you might think it's banned for the 2020 election, yes, but it's also banned in future elections, 2024, mm-hmm. 2028, similar to how Reagan-Bush T-shirts are still banned today.
So if I went to a California poll to vote for either Biden or Trump this November, and I'm wearing a T-shirt that either has a slogan for Biden or Trump, they're not going to let me vote there?
Yes, that would be a violation of their law.
I see. So well, there are other places that are doing this. I mean, I can see if people, wandered into the polling place with a big banner or a sign, that they're holding, because that's above and beyond. But, there's that fine line, right? I mean, your argument probably is basically free speech, correct? Is that the nucleus of your argument, or is there any other? Is there any other important thing? Go ahead.
So we make two arguments. One is the free speech argument, and that's a very important argument. This law prohibits political expression on voting on election day. That's like prohibiting someone from saying Merry Christmas on December 25th. We also have a vagueness argument that's related to our free speech argument in that, this law doesn't really provide any clarity about what constitutes a criminal offense and what doesn't. So what voters are allowed to do during the election period are really subject to the whims of the election worker that happens to be at the polling place on that day.
Have you heard of any large number of people being rejected at polling places anywhere because of what they're wearing? Let's focus on the 2016 Trump-Hillary Clinton race.
Yeah, so poll workers actually don't track this information, but the information that has been tracked or reported shows that there have been several instances at the polling place, and in fact there are incidents, at the polling place during every election period. So in 2008, for example, someone in Texas was wearing an Alaska souvenir T-shirt and was stopped at the polling place because it was interpreted by the poll worker as support for then vice presidential candidate Sarah Palin, even though it said nothing about Sarah Palin on the T-shirt. In 2016, you had similar incidents, I believe, in both Florida and Colorado, where students were wearing MIT T-shirts. This was actually 2012, where students were wearing MIT T-shirts in Colorado and Florida, and poll workers in both those states told the students that they couldn't wear those because they might be interpreted as support for then-candidate Mitt Romney. So this is something that happens every election in Texas and sometimes in other states as well.
Well, I think the outcome, and I hope the outcome, is going to be that you're going to be able to go into any place, and no matter what you got on your T-shirt, unless it's obscene or something, you're fine, ultimately. I mean, common sense has got to prevail here. Otherwise, once you start banning, the name of a political candidate off of your T-shirt or off of your hat, they're going to keep going further and further and further. You got a little bracelet on that, you know what I mean? And interpretations of this, that, and the other thing, like the Sarah Palin thing. But when it's a delight to talk with you, keep up the good work. PLF is a wonderful organization, and I hope we talk again.
All right, me too. Thanks for having me on.
You're welcome. Thank you. Wen Fa, Pacific Legal Foundation. Okay, we are going to take our break when we come back. Despite the media's attempt to crush this Hunter Biden thing, it continues to boil. We'll talk about that and more with the proprietor of the Barber Pole, Andrew Ceresi.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barbershop is open for business. The best haircutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting, beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience, and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
It's a beautiful morning.
Hi, I'm Paul Allen, and I'm the host of Good Morning Clearwater. We are found right here on the Tantalk Network, 1340 AM and 106.1 FM, Monday through Friday, 8 AM to 10 AM. We will concentrate on Pinellas County and focus on Clearwater and Clearwater Beach. Weather, traffic, local and national current events, sports, trivia contests, and plenty of giveaways. We want to show the world why Clearwater Beach was voted number one beach in America. Listen up, every Monday through Friday, 8 AM to 10 AM to Good Morning Clearwater.
Are you a writer, inventor? Do you have questions about your intellectual property rights? Well, tune in every Tuesday and Thursday morning at 11 o'clock for Joy on Paper. Once a month, I will have a special guest, the writer's legal eagle, Bill Larson of Larson & Larson, who can answer your questions. Protect your valuable work. Email me your questions to patsy.radio@gmail.com and then listen in every Tuesday and Thursday at 11 a.m. right here on Tampa Bay's Tantalk Radio Network. That's patsy.radio@gmail.com.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on Freedom Work. We are delighted you are listening to us live at this moment. However, if you do not have the ability to listen to us live, thanks to Big Ed, you can go to our website and you can click on the podcast button. You can listen to any of our shows recently. Right there on our website, which is ourfreedomworks.com, ourfreedomworks.com. Well, we got a double treat. Not only the master barber himself, Andrew Ceresi, but his wonderful brother, Angelo. I think it's his older brother, but don't quote me on that one. So we have them both. And let me start with Andrew. Andrew, The whirlwind, I would call Donald Trump, continues to spin. He has been like to two, I think he's averaging two rallies per day. I don't even know how he has the flight time to do it, but it's amazing. I think he was in Carson City, Nevada, and he was in California, and then he was up in Michigan, then he went to Wisconsin. He's real. Are all these rallies going to make a difference for him?
Paul, you know what? I was always taught, if you work really hard, you're going to win, no matter what you do. And this guy's been working his rear end off, while the other one has been sitting down in his basement and stopping at 10 o'clock. I think it's going to pay off big time for Trump. Look at the crowds he's drawn, yeah. Paul. I mean, this weekend, the motorcade, 450 cars. One place had a motorcade 9 miles long.
Wow.
I was looking this morning, Paul. But one quick thing, you know how early voting started today?
Yes.
I understand people are having problems already because they're making them sign their ballot with a swab, a wooden stick swab. They wanted them to use the swab to end because of the COVID. They wanted everything sterile. And people are saying because they're using the swab to end, that their signatures aren't matching properly. So they're telling people to turn it over and use the stick end, okay? And they're saying the people that are signing with their swab that the signature doesn't look like the one that's on file. Okay, are you
talking about one of those little screen things like you got to sign when you
No. I guess it's a screen thing, you know, for the early voting at the polls.
I can't even read my own signature on those stupid machines. When you try to, just use your fingernail, the lady will say, or use the pen. So you're sitting there, and first of all, the little screen is so small. I mean, you might as well just make horizontal marks because they don't care. But I don't. So you're saying?
Well, they don't care at the store because it's your credit card. But
correct.
This is your vote.
No,
and now they're saying that the poll checker is there and they're looking at your license and verifying your signature. That don't mean nothing because once it gets to where they're counting them, they're going to say, "Hey, these don't match."
People
are really upset with what's going. It's all over the computer, Paul.
It's all over the computer. The people are going for early voting to these different locations in Florida, and somehow are any of their votes being nullified? Do you know?
Well, they don't know for sure. This is what they're all concerned about. It just started this morning, Paul.
Correct. Wow, that is something to consider. I would hope that this nonsense with a swab. I had not heard a thing about using a swab to write your signature.
Over the Precinct 65 site, if you're interested in looking at it.
Okay.
Pretty heavy duty from what's going on, Paul.
This is wild. Angelo, you're up there in New York. And has early voting started there in Rochester area?
I think it starts this week sometime. I think it's the 24th. I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm. So go ahead.
Voting on Election Day. Going to the voting area, our voting booth area.
You are going to vote personally on Election Day?
Absolutely.
I think it's a good idea. Now, I'll be honest with you. I took here in Florida, I've been voting by mail, but it's the requested ballot situation. I think even Donald Trump, even Donald Trump had said in Florida, when you have a requested ballot, he's not so worried about it. Anyway, I took it to the post office, but I went inside. I didn't use the outside, thing. I went inside and slipped it through the mail slot, thinking that's one less person that's handling my vote. Do you think I'll be okay there, Angelo?
Oh, yes. In fact, I've had several people over the weekend ask me that the lines in the post office were really long because people were bringing in their absentee ballots to hand them to the clerk inside the office.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, if you bring it into the post office, and even if you put it into the slot, as you go into the lobby, it should be okay.
You should be, you feel comfortable enough.
I feel comfortable. I don't feel comfortable with those ballots that they just send to people, because I heard on the news here the other day that somebody received a ballot for their father who had passed away 10 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Wild.
That scares you when you hear about how screwed up that is. Go ahead.
Well, years ago when I was a kid, I remember voting would be, people would have the day off here in New York State on Election Day. I don't know why they just don't go back to that, instead of having all this early voting. You could have 2 days, say you want to vote, and people go in person. And give the people a day off or 2 days off to go vote. I mean, it's not going to kill the economy. I don't know why they don't do that nationally.
Right. Andrew, on another topic, Trump advisor Jason Miller says that Trump is going to change his debate tactics a little bit here in this final debate with Biden. He's not going to interrupt him as much. What do you think?
Well, I think he's going to do a great job this time, if it happens, because I don't think it'll happen.
You don't?
But no, I don't think it'll happen. I think Biden's going to stay hiding for this one.
Anyway, if
he does, I think Trump's going to just handle it and let him babble.
I have a new name for Biden, by the way. I don't know why. It made me laugh yesterday. I don't know if it will today. Gonzo.
Gonzo?
Yeah, doesn't that fit him a little bit? Somebody used it, and I thought, that name, I kind of like it better than Sleepy Joe. Maybe it's easier to say. So from now on the show, whenever I say Gonzo, you should realize I'm talking about Biden.
Yeah, I call him Babbling Biden.
Okay. So,
but this early election stuff, Paul, I think these rallies are going to bring Trump home. you know, everybody's saying, oh, it's going to be so close. I don't believe that, Paul. Not what I've been seeing.
And
I don't believe it.
You're not the only one. I've got people in my family, and I've got friends that are saying it's going to be one-sided, and Trump is going to win. And they basically, I think, like you are echoing, it's the enthusiasm situation. What about, Angelo, have you seen a lot of yard signs? I know you don't go out a lot there in Rochester, but you know what I mean? Are there a lot of yard signs up?
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of yard signs. In fact, I just got my Trump-Pence yard sign. They put it in yesterday.
Oh, really?
Yes.
So, if you had to be objective about it, how many yard signs, what percentage Trump, what percentage Biden?
I don't see too many Biden signs up here. In the city, there's Biden signs, yeah. But out here in the county area, no. It's all Trump, Pence. You know?
Andrew, let me ask you this. Is it possible that Seattle or Portland, the city itself, could vote for Trump?
Well, you don't know which way heaven's going to go. How many people are still alive up there? but you know, Paul, here's a fact.
Oh,
this is how I explain to people.
Okay.
Now, when Trump ran in 2016 against Hillary Clinton, he ran against a very, very strong candidate. Hillary Clinton was strong as can be, right?
I think so.
Now, come on. He's 10 times the candidate that Biden is. No question about it.
Mm-hmm.
Trump had no record at the time whatsoever. Okay, he had 6% of the black vote, and I believe about 15 or 16% of the Latino vote. Now you've got Trump going against a candidate that's a mamalouke, number one. He's got a track record going, okay, of what he's done in his 4 years. Now he's got 38% of the black vote, Paul. Rasmussen says it, I got to believe them. Okay, and he's got 62% of the Latino vote, Paul, mm-hmm. with a track record going against babbling Biden. You should slaughter him.
But you don't understand, Andrew. Biden is a family man.
Yeah, his family's very good. Yeah, you might call it familia.
The crime family Biden.
Yeah, there we go.
That's what I'm saying, the familia.
All right, so we got this. Apparently, they are now confirming that it was Hunter Biden himself who took his computer in to the repair shop. It wasn't somebody else. It wasn't like it just accidentally ended up there or, you know, somebody stole it from him.
Oh, you know what's amazing about that is the FBI had that too, didn't they?
They did.
All this time. And how come they couldn't find it? It takes a little guy trying to fix a computer to find it. What does that tell you about our Department of Justice and our FBI, Paul?
As a matter of fact, if you had been listening, and you probably hadn't been because you're busy, earlier in the show, I said, there's something about Christopher Wray, the head of the FBI, that rubs me the wrong way. And it's been that way for a while. There's just something shady about that guy. I'm not comfortable with him. And you ask a question I also asked. Why is it that we haven't heard anything about this from the FBI or the Justice Department? Have they been sitting on this? And it's kind of scary. Because
I believe Barr is part of it. And I believe Durham is. They've been hiding this stuff. Come on. This guy found this stuff in a matter of days with this computer when he decided to work on it. They've had this stuff for how many months, Paul?
Now, I think Barr and Durham are kind of, if they are sitting on it, it's not because they're anti-Trump.
But then they got to be being threatened by somebody in their family.
Either that or, you know, they're part of the Justice Department overall family. It's like, you know, that something is going on with one of your family members, but hey, it's one of your family members, right? So they're kind of, maybe there's some of that in there.
Well, I don't know. When my family members do wrong, they get the wrath of hell, believe me.
Well, yeah, in your case. Angelo, is Andrew the kind of guy that would give you hell if you did something wrong?
Well, he's got on my case at times, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah.
But he does it respectfully since I'm the patriarch of the family.
Yeah, and you could beat him up, right?
Oh yeah, definitely.
You were probably slapping him around for a long time when you guys were younger, correct?
Oh, we used to tease him pretty bad.
Okay.
They used to until they were 16. Then I outgrew him and took care of both of them.
All right, so there we go. All right, but you guys love each other, and apparently Joe and Hunter love each other. Although I can't find Hunter. I'm trying to find him. I know he wants to come out and talk about his laptop. He wants to explain it, and Joe wants to explain. They can't wait to explain that this is not true.
But the media
is
not talking about it, and they won't bring it up.
And Joe also wants to explain how he's getting money from Hunter rather than the other way around. In other words,
taking care of his father.
That's exactly correct. This is why Joe Biden might have those three mansions. What do you think, Angelo?
That he has what?
This might be one of the reasons why Joe Biden can afford three mansions.
Oh, they've been raking in money for 47 years.
Yeah.
I mean, let's face it. A lot of these politicians, most of them are in there to make money. Let's face it. You know, it's nice not to get up and go to work in the morning, but to go out, have a meeting, and drink a cup of coffee, and be called congressman or senator, you know.
Yeah.
So the rest of us have to get up and go to work in the morning, you know.
Yep, yep.
And these guys here, they're making money. Nancy Pelosi, over $225,000 a year. How did she become a millionaire?
Andrew, I know you still have the same confidence that Donald Trump is going to, it'll be like a one-sided affair. Can you name a state where Donald Trump for sure will lose?
New York.
Yeah, you know, I can't say either one of them.
Really?
You don't know, yeah. I'm giving New York and California a 50-50 shot from what I see
amazing?
Going on. I mean, okay. I see car rallies in New York with 950 cars. I see people all over California with boat rallies, car parades, all kinds of stuff. They both got a 50-50 shot.
Wow.
I don't know. Probably New York. Probably Massachusetts definitely lose.
Massachusetts, okay.
And maybe Rhode Island, you know, Maine, maybe, you don't know.
Some of the smaller New England states. Okay.
Right,
all right.
In New York, you would think that he could carry New York after the way Cuomo and de Blasio, Comrade de Blasio there, have treated the New York
people. You would
people.
Think. And you would think that Portland and Seattle, the same deal. I'm kind of feeling, with all the rioting, like Andrew said, there's probably nothing left in downtown there in Portland.
But you know,
go ahead.
What happened to the riots? We haven't heard anything about it.
They haven't said nothing to the media.
You know why? Because they knew that it was hurting Biden. So they put
that little cute guy, the little cute guy there on CNN, John Don Lemon, he was saying, "Oh, you can't bring that up. You're hurting our candidate." Remember?
Why did you call him a little cute guy? I know why you called him a little cute guy.
He acts like a cute guy. I mean, he's really something there, you know.
Yeah, I do know.
I mean, he belittles the president terrible. You know.
I know. It's been amazing. I tell you what, this is the weirdest, strangest, maybe most important election
I have never
we've
seen.
Ever had.
I have never seen so much disrespect for the president in my entire life. Never.
Right.
Never in a million years. From the ladies on The View, Joy Behar, Miss Sweetheart that she thinks she is, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That, they just mistreat this individual more so than I've ever seen. And I cannot believe the American people would vote and put Ocasio-Cortez, Ilhan Omar, and all these people on the far left in office to run our country after what they have seen with the rioting and everything else, you know?
Well, you got two generations being taught by liberal teachers that were taught by the draft dodgers of the Vietnam War. That's
hey, I was no draft dodger.
I'm not saying you. I'm just saying the people that are out there today. You got two generations.
Yeah, yeah.
These guys went to school to become teachers because they didn't want to go in the war.
Well,
and these are the liberals that have been teaching the kids in college and the high school kids for
yeah,
two
I
generations.
Would, I would suggest that actually it was the 60s where I myself started noticing, because I was just a kid, but high school and college at the end of the 60s, I did notice in college that there was definitely a cultural bias. And
how do you think we felt? We were over there in Vietnam when Hanoi Dane was over there.
Right.
Sitting on a howitzer, their howitzer, you know, belittling our soldiers. The same thing with John Kerry. He becomes a senator and throws his medals in the water there. See, you know.
Or he claimed he did. Then he went and got them back.
Well, and then you got Blumenthal, Mr. Senator Blumenthal, who is questioning the integrity of the Supreme Court nominee. Here's a guy that said he went to Vietnam and he never did.
Yeah.
They call that stolen valor, and this guy is still a senator.
Yeah.
How is that?
Gentlemen, I wish we could go on. We could talk forever. I want to thank Angelo because it's a delight to hear from him again. And, of course, Andrew, the master barber. for calling in. We'll be talking with Andrew again tomorrow. Thank you so much, Angelo. And what are your famous words to us in closing, Andrew?
May Trump be with you, my friend.
Okay. Thanks, guys.
Thank you so much. You're good.
All right. Oh, yeah. May the Trump be with you. It sounds like something from a movie. Well, we're going to take our break, and it'll be a short break. We want to talk a little bit about a campus quackery story involving the San Diego school system.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best hair cutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting, beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
I gave a girl. Hey, we're back. We are back for the final segment of Freedom Works. Monday, Tuesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the Great Tantalk Radio Network. We come at you. Well, the San Diego Unified School District last week approved an overhaul of its grading system, and they're doing it and in response to data they claim show disparities between white and minority students who get Fs. Yeah, not so what they're going to do is they're going to take away some of the things that might give you an F, like throwing chairs across the room, your behavior, not bringing your homework into class. They're actually going to take those two things out. The reason they are doing that is because minority students have lower grades than white students. They have lower grades than white students, and this is what they call a racial disparity. So under the new system in the San Diego School District, non-academic things like late work and classroom behavior will not be counted toward your grade. What do you think, Ed? Is that fair?
Sounds like a free-for-all getting ready to happen.
Exactly. I mean, I'd be tossing things left and right if that wasn't going to account for my grade. Anyway, there you go. Kind of scary. All right, Ed, I want to talk to you before we do the top 10. We are dancing in the streets here because our beloved Rays go to the World Series. They're going to play the Los Angeles Dodgers. I think that's going to be a great matchup. What do you think?
Saturday night was such a roller coaster for me with the Rays game when once again, Kevin Cash pulled Charlie Morton out, and I was
livid. He was a one-hitter at that point.
Charlie was livid. The whole place was...
Oh, was the pitcher upset?
Yeah. And the night before, Blake Snell, same thing. And what happens? It starts to fall apart, but they got it glued back together, and they wind up winning. And I just thought when they got that insurance run to get to four runs, I kind of felt it was going to happen because they had dialed up... They dialed up what Houston could not do, and that's put men on base.
The Houston Astros. Yeah. And you know, it's kind of like, what is it, turnabout fair play? Houston was cheating, was it not
last year, but I kept tired of the announcers saying, you know, that was last year, and this is this year. They didn't give that money back.
In other words, they got
their
comeuppance a little bit just because they didn't make it to the World Series.
That little shrimpy Altuve, I mean, he got the winning run last year that gave them the World Series. You know how much money he made?
How much?
In endorsements off of that hit? A lot. Because he was cheating. He didn't give that money back.
No, he didn't.
So
now, what do we think about our beloved Buccaneers?
The way they handled that. That came out of nowhere.
That was very one-sided.
I couldn't find anybody that thought the Bucs would win that one, but they just came out and punched him right in the face. I mean, the defense was just phenomenal. And then Brady could just take his time and
they were down like 10-0 at one point.
Yeah, 10-0, yeah. And then they picked off Aaron Rodgers and picks. It was a pick six, and then the wheels just started falling
and
off.
And Green Bay didn't score another point.
Nope.
That was great news, wasn't
38
it?
38 unanswered points.
Wow. So we might be a triple threat this year in Tampa Bay.
Well, one down. Championship at a time.
Oh, yeah. Yep. But we're a definite threat for a triple crown here. All right. It's time for our top 10, Ed. I love this one. Top 10 greatest movie villain. Let's see if you can figure out who's the number one movie villain of all time. Here we go. Number 10. The Evil Queen from Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs.
Okay.
It was a cartoon. But the name apparently of the voice, let's give her credit, Lucille Laverne played the Evil Queen. Number 9. Do you remember who Reagan was in The Exorcist?
Yes.
The little girl, right?
Yep.
She's number 9 worst villain, and the voice of the devil through Reagan's lips was an actress by the name of Mercedes McCambridge, and Linda Blair played the little girl. Number 8, Phyllis Dietrichson is number 8. Now, she was a woman that was scheming to get her husband killed involving a life insurance policy in a famous movie called Double Indemnity, and it was Barbara Stanwyck. Number 7, Alex Forrest. I'll bet you don't remember that, but you will. Yep.
Yes, I do.
Oh, who was it?
The lady that stalked.
You're right.
That's
close.
Glenn Close played her.
That's right. You are right. Fatal Attraction.
Fatal Attraction. Golly.
No, that's good. Fatal Attraction, 1987. Glenn Close played a great role. Remember him kind of rising out of the bathtub? Kind of scary scene. But she's number 7. Number 6, Mr. Potter. Remember that one? Mr. Potter?
No.
You may have seen it on television. It's A Wonderful Life with Jimmy Stewart.
No.
It's a Christmas time movie.
Yeah,
Mr. Potter was
black
the
and
evil banker. Number 5, Nurse Ratched. Nurse Ratched was in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest with Jack Nicholson. She was an evil nurse. Number 4, The Wicked Witch.
That was my game. That was it.
Of the West.
Yeah.
You remember her. Margaret Hamilton, Wizard of Oz. All right. Number 3, Darth Vader. Remember him?
Mm-hmm.
Now, could you fit into Darth Vader's suit, Ed?
I don't think so.
No, I don't think so either. Now, David Prowse played. I think David Prowse passed away. I'm not positive on
it. And the voice was James Earl Jones.
You are right. Yes. Yeah. The Empire Strikes Back, 1980 is the one. But it goes back to 1970.
I mean, that's always the perfect villain right there.
Yeah, what a voice he has, that James Earl Jones. Oh, my God. That is scary. Very good. Number 2. Norman Bates. Do you know who Norman?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Okay, Psycho, right?
Yep.
And that was Anthony Perkins. Anthony Perkins, that was one of the scariest, craziest. I mean, that movie just, that was Psycho 1960. All right, Ed.
I'm out. I don't.
Come on now.
I thought it was Wicked Witch. I really did.
Oh, you know it.
Okay.
You'll know it as soon as I say it. You'll go, oh, yeah. Hannibal Lecter.
Oh, okay.
Right? Anthony Hopkins played Animal Hector.
Hannibal Lecter. You say Lannibal Hector?
Hannibal Hector. Hannibal Lecter in The Silence of the Lambs.
Mm-hmm.
1991.
He did like 4 or 5 of those.
Yeah, he made some money off of didn't he?
4 or 5 of those at least.
You know, he's a big Shakespearean actor, and he comes off because he ate people. That's what everybody remembers. All right. Thank you so much. We will be back tomorrow. Always remember, freedom works. She called me. I took control. She was tired. That's her mind.